Welcome to the Mommy Beta Podcast. This is episode 28, and we are four new mommies beta testing parenthood. We are the writers of MommyBeta.com, which is a splendid mommy parenting site, which I hope you frequent regularly. Today on the podcast, we have myself, Natalie. We have another Natalie and Jennifer. Alex is off celebrating Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving to everyone. We're recording early so that we can all celebrate Thanksgiving. So what are your guys' Thanksgiving plans? I haven't even asked. Anyone?
Well, we're heading over to the East Bay with Sean's Aunt Linda. She'll be cooking up a turkey, and we are bringing mashed potatoes. And I'm excited because I'm going to make one batch of regular mashed potatoes, but then I'm also going to do like a side batch of bacon blue cheese mashed potatoes.
Oh, yum.
I'm pretty excited about it.
And Jennifer?
So I'm not a fan of blue cheese. I am going to my husband's sister's. We're going up to see her house for the first time. She's expecting a baby in December, so she's out of her mind hosting Thanksgiving. Or maybe she's smart because everyone's bringing everything to her house, and I'm sure we'll all help clean up before we leave. And she doesn't really have to do anything except have us all over. So,
is she doing the bird, though?
Her husband might be. I mean, I'm guessing they might purchase it, pre-cooked kind of thing. I know she's not doing it.
Okay, so that's good, because the bird is stressful.
Oh my gosh, I know. Yeah. So, no, she's not doing that. I'm making hash brown potato casserole, which is a big southern dish, and his parents and family seem to love it. It was by request. Basically, it's a bunch of cheese and hash brown with cornflakes on top, drizzled in butter.
Can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, I'm going to be working out on Saturday.
Nat, are your preparations all set? Is your turkey brining, or are you ready to go?
Oh, you know, it's already in the works. I've got the cranberry sauce already done. I've got my stock made. I just got to put the... I've got Thanksgiving down to a science, though. And I'm pregnant, too. But I wouldn't really stand for anyone else to make Thanksgiving for me because I love it so much. But I will say this. I am looking forward to my first and probably my only Thanksgiving in maternity pants. Because Thanksgiving and maternity pants are made for each other.
Definitely. That's and nothing's excellent. Really off limits. You
it's
don't have
so
any
true.
Of that food.
Yeah, well, except for the wine that goes along with the turkey, the pinot.
Yeah.
What's that jammy wine that people like to have with turkey? What is it? Is it Cabernet or something? I don't know. There's a specific type of wine that people like to have with turkey that I won't be able
really?
To.
Really? I like pinot or something white with turkey.
Oh, really? No, there's a specific red that... I don't know. I used to know it, but I've been on the lamb lately. So.
You're out of the wine drinking loop.
I am. I posted this on Twitter and Facebook this week about how I've been craving a spicy Bloody Mary like no one's business. And then Natalie posted that when she was pregnant, she wanted Mai Tais. I'm like, who even thinks of Mai Tais? I was just laughing at all the pregnancy craving.
Maybe you were craving Hawaii.
Yes.
Not so much Mai Tais. You can always make a virgin Bloody Mary.
Not the same.
I mean, the vodka's not any good anyway. I don't like vodka.
Well, yeah, I guess the vodka's not really the star. Mostly I just want the horseradish. So I guess I could make one that's just peppery and horseradishy and it would be fine. But I don't know.
So you can make horseradish mashed potatoes. Those are really good, too.
Oh, yeah, I could. That's a good idea. That's a good idea. So some of the things that we've been blogging about or plan to blog about this week, specifically the things that we are talking about this week, daycare is top of mind for me because I just signed Miles up for a couple days a week of daycare, and I'm having such terrible guilt about it, and I'm having guilt both ways. I had guilt when I kept putting it off, not putting him in daycare because I was thinking maybe I'm depriving him of an education and being around other kids and socialization, and then when I signed him up, I felt like, oh, it's my job to take care of him 24/7, and I'm outsourcing that, and I'm a terrible person. And so I wrote an email to Natalie last week, and I said, how did you deal with this? Did you cry? And she said that there was a little bit of guilt to get over, but you get over it quickly. And that seems to be the sentiment. I put that out on Twitter, and most people say it's hard for the first couple of days, but they love it, and it's so good for them. So I don't know. Nat, how did that first day go for you? Did you feel guilt about it, or were you just completely okay with your decision?
Well, I think I had kind of eased myself into it or kind of tricked myself into it because the first day that I actually dropped him off there was a day that I needed some childcare for a meeting I had to go to, and I hadn't signed up to do, you know, full daycare with this woman yet. But I, you know, had visited and I read about her and, you know, talked to friends about her, and I knew she was a good choice. So I used her just for a few hours, more like a babysitter than daycare. And so the first day I did it, I didn't feel so guilty. I felt a little weird leaving him with a stranger. But aside from that, I was like, oh, you know, I'll be back in a couple hours. I just have to go to this meeting. And that day, knowing that he handled it so well, like, I think I cried a little bit when I left, but he didn't at all. And he was really happy when I came back, and he was playing with the cars, and he liked the other kids, and seeing him in that environment and that he liked it so much made me confident to decide, you know, this is where I want him to have daycare. So I kind of eased into it differently than most people would. So I think I got out of some of that buildup, like, oh, I'm dropping him off at daycare for the first day, because I didn't really hype it up like that to myself. It was more like, in a pinch, I need a babysitter. So that actually worked out really well for me. I had a little bit, I was a little verklempt, but it wasn't over the top. So I was glad I handled it that way.
And Natalie, I thought Natalie Morris, I thought was interesting, a comment on the blog or what you posted on Google Plus was that someone said, wait till the guilt comes whenever your kid doesn't want to go home with you from the daycare. Oh, no. Or is cranky when he can't go to daycare because he's got to hang out at home with his parents. And that hit home for me because this is actually something I'm debating right now too. And it's not something that I had really anticipated since I work from home and I felt like I could take care of Elle whenever we don't have our nanny that comes the 4 hours for the half a day twice a week. But I'm with you. I feel like this has just been a natural progression, and I feel that she would be much happier. I know when we go to the play areas and things like that, she's just so animated and happy and distracted in a good way, and isn't just sitting around kind of coming up with her own things to do and feeling like she might need to get attention or try to get our attention. And I feel guilty about that because there are things that I need to get done because I am working and I have responsibilities. So I am looking into that too. And I know that Miles is 16 months, and I looked at a place here the other day, and I don't know if that's a minimal age. I guess there are places that take babies, but are you looking at an in-home daycare or just a smaller daycare?
I did look into some in-home centers, but in the end, I went with something that my neighbor was recommending, which was a daycare center. And I toured a few of them, and the one that I liked the best was the local YMCA. And they have a whole center that's just for daycare and preschool. So they actually graduate into daycare into preschool after 3 years of daycare if they start as babies. And the same teacher stays with them from baby all the way until three, and then they go into preschool with a new teacher, and then they stay there for 2 years. So they only will ever have two teachers. Whereas in some other centers, they would have one teacher every year from being an infant to the stage he's at now is called the Waddlers. And then he'll graduate into toddlers and then he'll go into preschool. And the woman that we went to tour with, the first couple places, you know, I thought, no, this is okay, but I didn't get warm fuzzies about it. And then when we went to the Y and saw this specific lady, and maybe she was Hispanic and she spoke Spanish and I speak Spanish to him, and that's sort of seemed familiar to him, but he lunged for her to pick him up. And so I felt really good about that. And he was looking at the other kids and he played with some of the toys that were down on the floor. And I thought, you know, I can't give him this. I can play with him with his toys sitting on the floor for until the cows come home. But really, I've got a finite skill set to offer him. And I spoke to my sister-in-law, who used to be a preschool teacher, and she said, you know, I completely believe in the power of socialization. They're going to learn things that you can't even imagine to teach them because you're one person. And, you know, the saying, it takes a village. So I feel guilty depriving him of that. But I also just, as, you know, December 1st is the day he starts, as that day approaches, I feel guilty because there's something in my head that says I need to do everything for my child. And I know that I should get rid of that because I can't do everything for my child every day for the rest of his life. But I don't know, where do you think we get that from? Do you guys have it?
Well, I originally thought that, but for me, Elle wakes up at 8 and goes down at 8 or 8:30, and For me, I'm planning to do a half day. So I don't know if you're doing a full day. So it's easier for me because I know if I pick her up at noon, I have full 8 hours with her left for the day. I mean, my husband might make it home by 8, but most of the time he's been getting home around like 10 lately. So I know we'll have the quality time together, and this will give her more time and entertainment with other kids. So that's where it's easing the guilt up for me.
Yeah, I don't think it's the time commitment. It's just outsourcing anything to me feels lazy, or I think it's a meme. It's something that's in my head that it's repeating itself. That's not necessarily true, that I need to do everything. And I think when baby number two comes along, hopefully I'll get rid of that, because you realize you can't do everything with two babies. But, my sister-in-law also said, once you have, baby number two, it will be good that he's been in daycare a couple days a week, just half days, as well. Well, it'll be like, from 7 in the morning to probably 2 in the afternoon. And so she said that he'll be more used to being around kids, so when the baby comes, it won't be such a shock for him, which is also something to
consider. Right, and it'll also give you some time alone with the new baby, because, Miles got lots of good alone mommy and me bonding time, and it'll be good for you to have that with the new baby too.
That's true. And mm-hmm. the woman who gave us the tour said that when children start preschool, she said, I can tell within minutes the kids who get into my preschool class whether or not they've been in some kind of shared setting or daycare type setting or learning setting. The kids who haven't, who've only been home with their parents, you can tell the difference. They have a tiny mm-hmm. bit harder time adjusting. So, and this is a proper, like, I'll get a report card at the end of the day for when his diapers were changed and when he ate and what he did. Every day they'll fill this out, because the ratio of caregivers to kids is 1-4. So that's really low. There's so many adults there. And the teacher will email me at the beginning of the week what her lesson plans are. So we went in this week to fill out a registration form, and we saw the woman there, and she said, it's farmer week. So all the little kids were in overalls and straw hats playing around. And you would get a full lesson plan of, we're going to learn about farm animals this week. And every day it's a different farm animal and is featured.
Yeah, I feel like Nick is getting probably more education out of his daycare than his preschool is, because his preschool is it's like an open play kind of environment, which I think is great. But his daycare, she does like a circle time with them, and they go over numbers and letters, and they do, more kind of focused art projects and that sort of thing. And I think he loves it. He comes home and he talks about painting, and he's starting to recognize letters. And it's kind of amazing. And I don't think he would be doing that if he wasn't in the situation.
Yeah. Well,
you're doing good, Matt. You made a good decision.
Yeah, I feel good about my decision. I just know, and I know he's ready. I just know that I'm not. So as soon as we get over that hump, it'll be okay, I'm sure. I'm sure it will be.
I can imagine the first day is going to be really hard, but it'll get better. And once you get into whatever you're working on, the time will fly by, and then you'll have all that time to be 100% with Miles.
Right. We'll play with his toys, which is another thing we wanted to talk about today. Jennifer, I kind of skipped over your turn. You wanted to talk about gendered toys because it's Christmas time, and you said you're kind of bored looking for little girls' toys, which is funny because I think I feel that way sometimes with little boys' toys. But you wanted to talk about the gender divide.
Yes, and it's funny because I think that may be true. The grass is always greener on the other side. I was with another mommy friend earlier this week who has a little boy, and she's looking at getting him a play kitchen. And I want to get Elle a play kitchen too, but I feel she may be a little young for it right now. Just from what I saw with my sister's triplets that she had, as I think they got theirs when they were around 2, and they didn't really start playing with it as much, I feel like, until they were closer to 3, and maybe now even more so at 4. So we have limited space in our home, and I just want to get things that I know that she'll be focused on and playing with right now. So I do love the play kitchen, and I think that's really sweet. But the other things, I grew up, my dad was awesome with me, or my mom both, but we always got the super cool toys, like ride-on motorcycles and train sets and car race tracks and things like that. So I did have some boy toys growing up, but just looking at the little girls' toys, they have the cradles to rock the babies in and the high chairs to put their babies in to feed them. ironing boards and irons. Like, what? How is an ironing board fun? Vacuums. Dominic seems to love his vacuum.
He does.
So I am considering getting Elle a vacuum, but some of these toys just baffle me. I'm not able to, I guess, think in the mind of a child now. And it's amazing to see what kids like as opposed to what the parents pick out for them. And I'm wondering if you girls feel this way, I guess, you know, when you're looking for the boys' toys. Oh, I wish I could get, you know, my little boy this, but that's more of a girl's toy. So what do you girls think?
You know, I was in a toy store recently, and Miles went crazy over these things called brooder trucks, which then I introduced Natalie to. And there was also a play table with trains on it. So he went crazy, but I was going to a birthday party the next day for a two-year-old who was a little girl. And I was like, you know, the toys here kind of suck for little girls. And I remember being a little girl and looking around the toy store and seeing things like a baby cradle. And I was like, what's fun about that? I remember thinking that as a little girl. So I think you're kind of onto something. You're right. There's not as much adventure for little girls. I liked my Easy Bake Oven, but that's something you can do with that. Whereas like an ironing board, yeah, I probably would be like, thanks, I guess.
No one likes to iron now. Why would a little girl? I can see maybe a Sean Jr.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I guess, you know, like the thing with those kind of toys is that little kids like to emulate what their parents are doing, but Dominic's never going to see me iron. You know, first of all, the iron's hot, so I do it when he's asleep. Second of all, I hate to iron. It's the worst. So we will definitely not be getting an ironing board, but I do like, I put some play pots and pans on my Amazon wish list. And my mom was looking at the wish list with my dad, and he was like, oh, pots and pans, you know, what's he going to have on this next? A tea set. And they scrolled down, and the next thing I had was a wooden tea set. But it was like a really boy kind of tea set. You know, it wasn't like dainty, like girly. It was like, you know, mommy and daddy are making tea because we drink a lot of tea at home. So, and Papa drinks tea, and, you know, I thought it was appropriate. But apparently my dad did not. But I mean, I'm okay with kind of gender neutral or crossing the gender line. I actually really want to get him a baby doll. But in order to keep the he promised that I would get him a blue baby doll. And I'm having the hardest time finding one. I looked online and I can't find one that I like that's not like $50. I'm not spending $50 on a baby doll. So I think I need to go into Toys R Us and have a look around and see if I can find something. But, you know, I don't think it. You should feel too constrained by what's supposed to be a boy toy and what's supposed to be a girl toy. If they, you know, show interest in something that's not technically, you know, for their gender, I don't think there's anything wrong with getting it for them. So,
right,
more power to you.
Thanks. Yeah, I said, am I a weird mom if I get my daughter a train set?
No.
Or a car. She loved Brick's cars, my little nephew's cars, when we were in Arkansas. And I was just thinking she probably would her some little cars that are purple and pink, but I think she'd like probably one of those little, I guess they're sort of racetracks that you put a car on and they go down each level.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which are pretty cute. So we're looking around for different ones. And then I actually stumbled on a lot of toys that are gender neutral that have quite a few things to do with them, like the different stacking toys or the role-playing toys with the little people and things that are appropriate for their age. So there are some out there, but I was wondering if I was alone in thinking that, why have people not really introduced anything that's, why do boys get all the fun toys? Because girls have all the pretty clothes and the ruffles and things. But when it comes to toys, boys are way ahead. So I feel like you mommies have a lot more things to choose from.
We do. We're getting even since we don't. That I want to play
worse.
Yes. Pink ruffly dresses for the birthday party.
Yeah, we don't get the cute clothes, so. And even Miles' toys, I'm like, this is kind of fun. I like playing with them. So it's true that the boys'
tool
toys
set, yeah,
a little bit better.
She is enamored with this tape dispenser. We're measuring quite a few things for the house right now. We're doing a renovation, and she just wants to play with that all day. Tom's like, should we get her a tool set? I'm like, I don't know. She needs to know how to fix stuff, just like Dominic needs to know how to cook.
Exactly.
True that. That's a good way to put it. Well, ring in with what you think about crossing the gender lines when it comes to toys. We'd love to hear what you have to say. At mb@mommybeta.com is our email address, or you can just write anywhere on the blog. Before we go on, I want to tell you about our show sponsor, Gazelle.com. We are so thrilled to have them on board supporting the Mommy Beta podcast. They're a website that allows you to sell your used consumer electronics for cash. So you look around your house, you find the things that you might want to sell, and then you input that into Gazelle.com, and they give you a cash value for that thing. You then send that thing in. They will help you either by helping you ship it out with a box or print out a shipping label. When they get that thing, they will say, yes, this is in the condition that you specified. And then they'll just send you money, either a check in the mail or a PayPal deposit, or they will send you an Amazon gift card. So it's a great way to look around your house and find things that you're not using that you can then get cash in exchange for, because who couldn't use more cash, especially during the holiday season when we're all buying things like hammers and toy tea sets. So make sure that you check out gazelle.com. And if you would be so kind, you can tweet them gazelle_com. Tell them you heard about them on the Mommy Beta podcast, because we are very, very grateful for their support. Thank you, Gazelle. All right. Speaking of stuff and gifts, Natalie, you put together the gift guide this week, and I think it's worth going down because this is really fun. We're putting together these guides for different people in our lives, that things that we think are worth looking at that you might not have considered. So what is the category you had this week?
This week we focused on babies. That's newborns to 12 months old. So we do have a lot of gender neutral toys on here. we kind of broke it down into different categories. The first category is little learners, which is basically, you know, toys that kind of foster imagination and learning. And my favorite thing in this category is early playset, and that's one that Jennifer put on here. And when we've been to Jennifer's house, Dominic loves playing with this. It's a cute little set of fabric food, and it has a little fabric shopping bag, and you know, the banana, you can peel it, and the lettuce has that crinkly paper in it, which babies go crazy for. And this is, you know, it's nice, general neutral. They can learn about colors. They can learn about different foods. They can, you know, when they're really little, they just like to touch it and feel it and see what it does. And then they can start learning about, you know, who eats this. You know, the monkey eats the banana, and bananas are yellow. Dominic's just learning his colors. And I think a lot of that has to do with the kind of toys we've had, or, you know, things like this where he can easily identify that the banana is yellow. And we talk about that a lot. So I think that's definitely my favorite thing in this category. And then something else, we do have a little fashion statement, trumpet socks. I've put these on other kind of gift guides that we've had. They're just fun. Little socks can make an outfit. And this set that I actually have pictured here, I bought for a friend who just had a little boy. And I just think that they're just sweet. They make you happy. They're maybe a little bit more for mommy than for baby. But something that's really for baby is the category we have that's experiences, not stuff. And, you know, I know, Jennifer, you've had great experiences with music class. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the babies just love it. And you're right. Can you talk a little bit about what Elle does in music class and how she gets something out of it?
Sure. So she was 3 months or around that last Christmas. So it was a challenge finding items that she would play with, because she was just starting to recognize toys at that point, or shaking them. I remember being home for Christmas and my mom kept handing her this one toy, and she hadn't necessarily really played with anything yet to that point. And I still have the little toy. It was really the first toy that I really realized and she played with and all that fun stuff. So that was really neat to see. And so everything's just sort of taken off from there. But one of the toys that she got her was a series in a music class for us to go to each week. So we would have an activity to do together, where she would get to ring the little maracas or sing along with the other babies. And the great thing about this class is it's from 3 months all the way up to 2 years. So she's seeing a wide range of kids and how they're reacting to the music and all the things they're doing. And the teacher was awesome. She was very interactive and always had fun new things to do in the class, which I think is important, because they just Elle seemed to really like all the variations of the different things. But then there are also regular things that they could latch on to and know are happening each week and really learn the words, or not the words, but the music, the rhythm and all that. So it was great. I really feel like that she enjoyed it a lot, and it was something that sort of kept giving throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah, and I think these experience gifts are, those are my favorite things to give. You know, whether it's a pass, a family pass to a museum, or even just a day pass, depending on your budget, or a paint your own pottery kind of thing, or, you know, especially as, you know, if you have a big family and you have everybody's giving presents, you know, you end up with a lot of stuff and, mm-hmm. you know, you only have so much space and a baby can only play with so many toys. So I think this is a good kind of out of the box idea that parents and babies will really appreciate.
Mm-hmm. And they're great to take the grandparents too when they're visiting as
well.
Oh,
how sweet.
That's
a great idea.
Right. Yeah. And what do you guys do with all the extra stuff that you get around Christmas? Because I still have put away Miles' birthday toys from July, and I've just been bringing out one every couple of weeks so that there's a new toy, because I couldn't give him 30 new toys or something one day. So I think that's going to get us through to Christmas. And then with Christmas toys, I'll bring out one a week for the next, I don't know, until his birthday. You guys do that?
Yeah, I have some things that we still haven't opened yet. Elle was lucky enough to get quite a few baby dolls, and I'm sure we'll put many through the ringer. So we have some of those still stored away. But and I think it's a great idea to introduce a new toy each week, because they do get bored with their own toys. You see when they go to other kids' houses and they just attack their toys, new toys. So I think that's a great idea. For me, I'm just trying to limit the amount that she gets and being smart about what I feel like she'll actually play with and what would be the best use. So my mom is getting another series to a music class, and she's also buying us a museum pass, both of the things listed here that I know we'll be able to use throughout the year. But that way I know what to expect from them. And then I also have our list pulled together. And I think you girls probably have both created your wish list as well. So then it's easier to keep a grasp on the stuff that they receive.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I do the same thing with pulling the toys out. You know, certain things aren't necessarily age appropriate when they get them, but by next Christmas, you know, they will have grown into it. So I will, you know, put things away for a few months until I think they're ready for it. Like I think it was last Christmas, Jennifer gave us this great little step stool. And I had it squirreled away, and I brought it out a few months ago, and he wasn't quite ready for it, but I brought it out last week and he loves it. He loves climb up the little step stool, and I have it put up to our picture window in the front of our house. So he climbs up and he just looks out the window and he talks about what he sees, and he's a huge fan. So I think that's, you know, it's better than kind of overloading them all at once with all of these gifts, but to kind of dole them out gradually and as they become more appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
A couple other things that we have on the gift guide. I thought this category name was kind of funny. Babies are pushy. We know babies love to push stuff. So we have a couple great pushing toys there, one recommended by Alex and one by Jennifer. And then we have a couple practical things. One is that Snooze Shade Plus that Nat and I both tested. And I actually used this over the weekend. We did some Christmas shopping, and I had Nick sleep in the stroller during it, and it was awesome. People kind of looked at it funny. Like, one lady even asked me, like, is there a baby under there?
Yeah, but it works so black. Great. You're like, what are you doing to your kid? I'm like, he's in trouble.
Can they breathe in there?
They can.
Yeah, they totally can breathe, and it's totally, you know, it blacks out everything. It's awesome. It looks a little funny, but it's awesome. So I would recommend that, because sometimes you got to take a nap in the stroller. And then the other thing is the Merino Kids Sleep Sack. It's practical and luxurious. And I just realized when I was on their site yesterday, because the one that we have is from birth to 2 years, and I'm getting nervous about him growing out of it because I love it so much. And I think it's also a good deterrent for him not to climb out of his crib. They have one for 3 to 5 year olds. So I'm maybe putting that on his birthday list for a grandparent. It's a luxury item, but well, I'll keep my fingers crossed.
But why it lasts a really long time, like you said, I mean, 0 to 2 years, that's an extremely long time for any baby product, and especially one that's such of high quality. We've had ours for a couple of months now, and it looks exactly the same as when it arrived. arrived.
Yeah, we've been using ours for almost 2 years and it looks exactly the same. So I will heartily endorse that product, even though it's expensive. Your dollar per wear is excellent.
Mm-hmm. I remember when I was in my 20s, I had been writing Natalie about some expensive jeans I wanted to wear. And she goes, well, I figure the lifetime of my jeans and how often I wear them, that they actually cost something like $5 per wear at the end of the life cycle. So I went ahead and bought those expensive, I think they were J brand jeans or something like that. So it's funny that now we're using the same dollar per wear formula for baby sleep sacks.
It's important. Yeah.
It is. And I do the same thing. I mean, $5 per wear, that's a lot. That's a bridge total.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if this is less than, you know, a couple cents per wear if it's 2 years in the sleep sack, if you're wearing it every night. So
price and you can trust the material it's made out of. Right.
Right. All right. Well, we have actually a Swaddle blanket that we're giving away this week on Mommy Beta as well. So we have a lot of stuff that we're giving away. We've got a Munchkin gift pack coming up, which includes their diaper pail and a couple of other things. So make sure you're checking our giveaways regularly on mommybeta.com because it's so easy to just get some free stuff. We always end the podcast with a little victory, which is just something that we're celebrating that our kids have sort of progressed in this week. And mine I actually blogged about, but I've been so excited about it, I've probably been too excited, that Miles can say and recognize poo-poo, which is a big deal. He's only 15 months. He'll be 16 months next week. And he came up to me the other day and said, poo-poo. And I checked his pants and he was, in fact, poo-poo. And then the next day he said poo-poo and I knew he wasn't. And then he gripped down on the table and started to do a poo-poo. And I thought, oh my gosh, he called it. He called it in advance, which again is another step towards potty training. So I went ahead and ordered that step stool potty train that we talked about on the Mommy Beta podcast a couple episodes ago, because I figured if he's talking about it, then we might as well, you know, get started. It could take months to potty train. I don't expect him to do it overnight, but I figure we might as well have the gear. It's, you know, strike while the iron's hot, so to speak, right?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. And yeah,
I'm very proud of Miles.
I know. He can recognize poo-poo. It's a big deal. I was like texting all my family about it.
That's
like,
a big step.
Poo-poo. He recognized it. And then have you heard this, Natalie, that for boys, the best way to potty train a boy is to have them watch daddy pee-pee in the potty? Have you heard that?
I've heard that that's definitely one of the good things to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is that is because when you first potty train a boy, they're not supposed to stand up. They're supposed to sit down. So does that mean that you have to have daddy sit down on the potty?
I don't know exactly. Like we've been sort of sitting him down next to it and say like, look, daddy's pee-pee in the potty. And then daddy has some stage fright and he's like, I can't do this. I'll be here. And I'm like, do it. He's watching. So it helps if I leave the room. But the first time we did it, Miles sort of crawled up and wanted to reach for the stream. And he's like, make him stop. So I don't know if that's the best way to do it or not. But, you know, but I think it sort of gets him into the idea that, like, it is pee-pee and it goes into the potty. I don't know. I don't think that he'll try and stand up and aim yet or anything like that.
That would be impressive.
Yeah. I think Brick still sits on the toilet, so I don't know when the boys actually switch over to standing.
Yeah, I think they have to be pretty coordinated to do that.
And I don't want
tall.
To
you can have a stool.
Right. This thing has a little baby ladder that they climb up and then sit on. So I don't want him doing that and then trying to pee into the potty. But I don't know. I'm sure I'll be keeping you abreast of my adventures in potty training. But, you know, again, I felt like, well, he's saying it and he's noticing it. So I should, if the next time he does that, if I see him doing it, I'll just take him and sit him on the potty and see if he does it. So I'll let you know. I will.
Good luck.
Good luck. Yeah. Huge.
All right. Well, I welcome your potty training tips as well as tips and comments on anything else we've talked about today on the Mommy Beta podcast. You can, again, write us at mb@mommybeta.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We have a website. There's no shortage of ways to get in touch with us, and we like hearing from you. So thank you for listening. Have a very, very happy Thanksgiving or whatever holiday you choose to celebrate. If you have some free time off, just some free family time, enjoy your families, and we'll see you here next week.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
You and me, happy as can be, flying through the park on our bikes on a Sunday afternoon. You and me, rolling on the floor, wheels in your somersaults, your cartwheels, your donkey kicks, and more. How did you grow so big overnight? How did you get so smart and bright? Yesterday you were asleep in my arms. Today you're growing off the charts. I'm so proud of you. Wild and free, while the paint goes flying, your big smile, it brightens up the room. You and me reading books in bed, your head on my shoulder, your eyes on the pages ahead. How did you grow so big overnight? How did you get so smart and bright? Yesterday you were asleep in my arms. Today you're growing off the charts. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you.